So, do we have a tape one?
Yes, okay. It's on.
So, okay. 6:32, and welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Finance Committee meeting. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Chacon is absent at the moment. Crawford?
Here.
And Forrestal?
Here.
Thank you.
And we also have, so we have Russ here. We have Rob Fredrickson from City. We have Theron. And we have our library director, Sean. Okay, so no other visitors, no public for comment, and I guess we'll go into talk about the budget.
So, I cannot find my notes, but I highlighted a few things on the budget that on my budget that I would point you guys to, that I've been kind of just keeping track of items that we pay for throughout the year. I've kind of broken them down to like contracts, inspections, subscriptions, databases, any memberships, automation, big things like that. And what I'm finding under professional services is that, let's see, we've budgeted $40,000.
Professional?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it looks like right now we've paid around $42,000, or I'll anticipate us next year paying around $42,600 just in what we currently have now. Mm-hmm. Some things that we are paying for that we didn't pay for last year was our Umbrella Technologies subscription for our FOBS access, web links, hosting, and updates, our telephone system, which is $535,340 a year for that. So those fees aren't in what we into this budget.
Should the phone be in the telecommunications?
We haven't put it in there in the past.
No?
Yeah, because we're only at $4,800 and we're budgeting $7,200 for telecommunications. So if we aren't, maybe we should move
the phone system, we could move it, payments
into telecommunications.
That's telephone system?
Mm-hmm.
So in the telecommunications, Metronet is... Metronet is cheaper than what we were paying with Comcast as well. But we will have to add in the mobile hotspots after our... grant is done, we will start to have to pay for those. Those are $10 a month per device. So we have 10 devices, that works out to $1,200 for that. But I will be canceling our Verizon hotspot that we had. So that will be a savings of $400.
Okay.
So you're right, we could move that over into there. So then that would be all right.
It seems like professional services is something other than telecommunications.
Well, it's a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's kind of how I
look at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
phones and be...
wherever you want to put it.
Yeah.
Am I right?
I would say telecommunications.
Well, I would suggest put telecommunications and telecommunications. And to Russ's point, I mean your other contractual services that are maybe not as easily classified would be
right.
More of a kind of just a catch-all professional service. But.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see. That would increase the telecommunications line item $5,340 that you have did over there.
So right now it says projected is $7,200, so you'd add 5,000, you're saying add 5,000 to it?
Well, we wouldn't have to because right now, year to date, we've only spent $1,900.
I think it makes sense to move that into the phone bill into the telecommunications.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we would take that 7,200 and increase it by 5,340. Is that what the consensus is? For FY23 for the proposed budget.
Increase it a little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, the 5,340 is a part of the 7,200. You're saying?
No, it's not.
Oh, so it's a completely
additional add.
Okay.
But right now we've spent 1,900, but our year's not up either.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Okay.
And we're only at 26% for the year so far.
So what gets coded currently? What gets coded? Metronet to telecommunications.
It is Metronet and Verizon.
I think we'd probably leave it where it is. It's 7,200.
Yeah, I would agree if we've only spent 19 and change today.
Well,
and you cancel Verizon.
I'm going to cancel Verizon.
Right.
But I'm going to be adding 1,200 for the mobile hotspots after our grant is done.
What we actually pay is about $125 a month.
Mm-hmm. That's $1,500 a year.
And then mobile hotspots are 120 times 5?
10 times 10. 10.
So 1,200.
So 1,200.
So you're at 2,700.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the phone bill for the year is?
$5,340.
So we should be right at, why don't we bump it to $8?
Eight, I was thinking.
Okay. Dues and subscriptions. So we budgeted this year for $11,000, and I did the math on all of this, and I see us spending $13,300. Let's see what the
biggest
ticket items is.
Last, page 2, the very last one.
Okay.
You want to increase it
to 13?
Probably to be safe, probably 14,000.
That's all.
You got rid of one of our subscription databases.
I did. Mm-hmm. I got rid of Gale, and that was a $3,000, okay. And that's not included in this number here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Shelly, how much did you want to increase it to?
$14,000.
The dues and subscriptions.
Yes.
Wow.
From 11.
And what do we, and that's all of the libraries, everything.
That's our magazines, our newspapers, our novelist database, ancestry database, our ebook subscription, our book page, library aware database, our program sign up database, our summer reading database, our Zoom subscription, our movie license subscription, our Adobe Pro subscription license, and our Amazon Prime.
Now, where the mobile app for Prairie Cat, Where does that come from?
That comes out of automation.
Okay. Because that's 400 a quarter? 400 a month?
It is 600 a year.
Oh, 600 a year.
Yes.
Okay.
And we increased it because we added more subscriptions to our...
Right, and the prices have gone up, too.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you know what? It could be just increasing it to 13,000.
Just 13?
From 11, yeah. Automation, which is just down from dues and subscriptions, 1, 2, 3, automation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
On page 3.
It's at 20,000 right now, and our fee for ClariCat has gone up to $18,000 a year. It was at
wow.
It was at 15,900. I think. So out of that automation comes the ClariCat, or the app, the mobile app, our Express Lane, which is our yearly self-check, our quarterly membership through ClariCat, our yearly membership through OCLC, which is where Dixie uploads bid records for the catalog, and we also pay for our Access 360 ebook subscription out of that one as well. So all of those total $20,695 for next year's fees.
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking $21,000?
Yeah.
That's supposed to be
$21,000. I don't see a whole lot of room in there to put in a new server.
No, not after all this.
What is under utilities?
Utilities, that is our NICOR bill.
That's just the NICOR bill?
Yes. And that has gone up 24% based on the CPI, Consumer Price Index.
Yep.
So I don't even know how to guesstimate a budget
for that,
for this.
Now, I know they said, I think it was this earlier, or it was last week, they said there was going to be a 10% drop. NICOR said there was going to be a 10% drop in the cost per therm. I don't, now that was for regular houses for, you know, but I don't know if that, is that across, I don't know if that's across the board. Have we seen any change whatsoever with the automation system of lowering the temperature?
No.
There's been no change in the bill at all. Have we had a bill since we did that? Or, I mean, or is it?
Probably too soon.
Is it too soon?
We've probably gotten bills, but it's probably too soon to see as safe as we've had price hike. Mm-hmm. We'd have to look at the therm usage. Compared to therm usage from the temperature, there's a lot of variables that have to be compared.
Yeah.
When did that change occur with the setback mode?
I'm sorry?
Where we changed the BAS to turn down at night, was that 2 months?
That was in September. September, October, if I remember right.
It was November, because I think they, beginning in November,
okay.
Because they couldn't get the...
Couldn't get a part.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Chip shortage. Supply chain.
Can we keep that?
So right now under utilities, we're... What do you think we have...
13 and then we projected the 12. So we're above.
I think we need to raise it. Mm-hmm. Probably to 13 at least.
Yeah. And then if you have to move.
Yeah, if we have to
adjust.
Adjust.
So 13 for that?
Yeah, I mean, what I can do is we can look at how you're tracking, and then maybe if you're concerned about utilities going up, we can increase the FY23 amount by 10% based on the FY22 projected, mm-hmm. and then maybe do a straight 6% from 24 on into 27. So I can work with Shelley and, you know, kind of firm up that number for you.
Sure.
All right.
That
yeah.
sounds good.
So something that I'd like to bring up is that we are one of the only libraries around that still charges fines. And so here are some of the libraries I did a little research. Plainfield, Oswego, Plano, Sandwich, Manuka, Shanahan, Joliet, Naperville, and then some further out. All are fine-free. It seemed like they switched that way, like right during COVID. We were doing that during COVID as well. We went fine-free. But back in September, we instituted fines again. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is fine. Fine-free is when you return your items, you're not charged the late fee for them. But if you lose or you're damaged, you still have to pay for that. And your card will be suspended until you return the items back to us. So I'd really like you guys to think about this. It's a good gesture service to the community, mm-hmm. but I know it is part of our revenue as well.
Not a huge part. At least not last year or this year.
Right.
$1,300.
So, Rob, if we...
At what level would you suspend the cards? Like, would it be like the $5 that it is now? Like, you know, like how, like if you're a day late, are you still able to use your library card? Like, I'm just wondering the logistics.
It would just be like it normally is now. You know, you check out your materials for 3 weeks, and yes, it's a dollar. It would be a dollar amount when you get that, like, I think it's $10 now. It used to be $5.
Okay.
Now it's $10.
Okay.
Then it would trigger that.
Okay.
And it would freeze your card.
Okay.
Is something that you want to bring to the board?
So, I'll be the bad person. I've always felt that fines were a way of teaching responsibility. You know, when I was a kid, I brought something in late, I had to take responsibility for it. Mm-hmm. And that's how I feel about it.
But this also, it relieves the shame of the people that can't get to the library to mm-hmm. return their items, or even the people that can't afford these fines, the underserved people as well.
I'm going to bring it to the board and find it.
Bring it to the board?
Yeah.
Okay. I can put it on the agenda for this month to talk okay. about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Especially if we have some, I mean, it's something to talk about, mm-hmm. since we have other libraries that are around. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
So, one question, Rob. We're looking at the projections for the fund balance. We know that it was announced, I heard on WSPI about the new subdivision that's going in Yorkville. I forget how many, 50-some units or something like that, houses. You don't take into account any of that, of those houses, the projected start of those houses, or the when those houses actually are in city limits, when there's projected when the people would be living in there, and then the taxes are coming in.
Right.
Yeah, correct. We don't make assumptions like that.
Okay.
It's, it's kind of volatile. It's kind of risky. I mean, if we're right, great. If we're wrong, it could, spell some issues. Not necessarily for the library, but I'm more on a city in general.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of keep it pretty consistent with development fees. We're kind of anticipating 100 new starts, which I'm sure we'll do more than that, but just to be conservative. And if you get more money, it just goes into your capital fund that you can spend, at a later date.
Mm-hmm.
I know you and I had a conversation about if we increased our levy, how that would impact. And I brought it up to the board a couple of months ago about that, and it was not well received. I mean, I was a minimum of 0.02. And that would add about $125,000-$150,000 to our general fund.
Sure.
Because I know Shelley would like to open up a new full-time position. Are we part-timers? Are we fully staffed now, or are we still lacking?
No, she started today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we are fully staffed with a...
Yes. There'll probably be discussion on sharing services with the city with Ted Milchewski.
Okay. I know part of what the board has wanted is a marketing person, and this is the person that this is the position you were looking to start. But we're probably looking at $80,000 for a full time position with benefits.
Yeah, I mean depending on your insurance,
depending on how much we offer a full time position at. I'm thinking, if we started around $55,000-$60,000. The health insurance, all that would probably run about $80,000, right?
Yeah, all that, sure. Yeah. I actually do have a new position included in this budget, not at $55,000 or $60,000, but I have it budgeted at about $45,000 with full benefits. And it comes to, bear with me here one moment.
Got it, yeah.
Okay, $81,750.
Okay.
All in. Yeah.
And that's assuming the person would take, the full family PTO.
Sure.
And obviously, there'll be savings if they opt out or are single or whatever.
Right.
So you do have that?
That is included in these budget numbers, okay. Yes, that new position.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
One question, though. We have, every year we have to increase because of the minimum wage, we are going to be having that affect our budget. So each year, it's 12 now, it goes to 13 next year.
Sure.
And so these are things that we really need to know before we even hire a marketing person, try to take that on, is that we need to make sure that we can do the 15, up to the 15 per hour, for our staff.
Well, that's also included in the budget. I shared with Shelley a spreadsheet that I've done, I think I've shared with you all in the past, just kind of anticipating the various hour levels that current part-time staff works.
This is the one that I gave you guys from the COLA discussions.
Yeah.
And you can see that the part-time salaries line item, starts at 180. Well, it finished around probably 170. You'll probably finish the 160s this year. Go to 180 in FY23. And then it goes up in about a $10,000 increment through 2027, so that accounts for the minimum wage increases. So I think you're, at least from a budgetary standpoint, it is included in these budget numbers.
Okay.
Because you're right, that is a very
additional wages, additional raises aren't included, though.
Well, I think...
Or did we say, because I know at one point we had said, push out, a 3% COLA living or something at one point.
That was only done for the three full-time people.
Right.
So all the part-time people have not had
a
raise, other than the ones that were making minimum moving up.
Right.
But there are several that haven't since
I thought we were given
July
of
2020.
I thought we were given the people that were making less than minimum wage up to minimum wage, and then keeping that salary compression, hourly compression, that was for the people that they're catching up to. that have been there. Haven't we been pushing them up a little bit?
I thought we
agreed to that.
I thought we did too for 2021 when I
right.
Went out.
Yeah, right.
And then I thought, and then we need to talk about 2022 going forward at right. this meeting. But I thought that we had said that we would do that in 2021 when I went out.
Well, the spreadsheet I've done does include a 3% COLA for people, and then it bumps them up again. Like if they're making 12 now, they get a 3% raise as of May the 1st. So you make 1236 from May the 1st through the end of the year, and then you'd be bumped up to 13 from January through April. So
yeah, the way we had it approved by the board was that it was the people getting the bump from minimum wage would not get the 3% because they got a bigger than 3% raise at the beginning of the year.
Okay.
Everybody else that didn't get the raise gets the 3%. But the 3% is all for the part-timers is not going to get that weight compression adjusted.
Yeah, and I can certainly run this spreadsheet with a number of different scenarios. Shelley, I'll send that to you tomorrow, and you feel free to share it with the board and see how you want to go about doing it.
Well, we've got people, part-timers, that have been here 15 years, 20 years, well, not 20, but 15 years, that are making just above.
There's some that are making minimum.
Some of them are making minimum.
Yes, and they've been here a
long time.
8 years, 7 years, yeah, and they're making minimum.
And then there are some people that have been here only 1 or 2 years that are making, that are getting the same or, and they're getting, so yeah, we need to do something about the people that are been here a long time. We don't want to snub them.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 staff members that have been here over 5 years.
Okay.
And then we have 4 custodians. Now they make more than minimum wage.
Anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So if you're talking the 6 staff members.
Mm-hmm.
Their pay rate, one is $12.67. She's been here 15 years. One has been here 25 years. She just runs our book club. Mm-hmm. So she's making $18.98.
Mm-hmm.
Some have been here 5 years, minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
8 years, minimum wage. 7 years, minimum wage. 15 years, $12.87. Those are the 6.
Well, I'm not as concerned about the book club person.
Correct.
Like, but I do have a problem with the people who've been here
a long time.
15 years.
Yes.
I mean, there's obviously a cost for hiring people and training new people, but also, like, I'd like to reward with reasonable pay people who have been here a long time and who are doing their job well.
So those people that I'm talking about, I don't have a raise on here for them. The last one I'm showing is July of 2020.
I just could have sworn.
Yeah, we did the 2021 one.
I could have sworn that we had.
Is that when Elisa was here?
We had kind of worked it out, I thought.
You did. You did it for the 3 full-time staff.
Right.
And that was it. And you said you would discuss it at the beginning of the year when we went to $12 an hour.
Yeah, I thought we approved something in there about the wage compression to keep the people that were only here a short time that are getting a huge raise. Keeping the people that have been here a while.
We'll have to go back.
Well, if it's true and we haven't, that's even worse.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, we don't want to slip back into the days when we didn't give anybody a raise for 5, 6, 7 years.
Right. But it's even worse, in my opinion, when you have people who've been here 2 weeks who get a raise.
Yeah.
That you know, let's call your, you know, your minimum wage increase your raise. Like, that's a terrible way to treat your employees.
Something else on the board. We need to rectify this.
Right. I can't.
But we have like a sheet with everyone's name.
Yeah.
And all the.
Yep. I'll send you what Rob has sent me. He has it for a 3% COLA across the board, or just a 3% for the people that are making over minimum wage.
Who normally determines like what someone makes as a wage?
Well, we hire part-time people, so. Yeah.
So then we just hire them at minimum wage.
It's minimum wage, yeah.
So somebody who's been here for 15 years should be making a lot more than minimum wage.
Right. All right, so we're talking COLA again.
You guys talk to my boss, too.
What?
You're making minimum wage, Brian.
No, but they, you know.
Yeah, it's...
It's not always based on your performance.
Yeah, it's a problem.
So that's my question, Rob, as well, is that this CPI...
Yeah.
Is that 7%?
Well, it'll be capped at 5 because PTEL won't let it go beyond 5. But I just noticed that too. I mean, historically, we've just assumed a 3% increase for your property taxes. We can probably bump that up next year. It won't impact your budget till fiscal year 24. But we could probably increase that number by 5%, assuming you take the full levy, which historically has been the case.
Person into this budget. What if instead of this person being full-time, they work, and I know we're capped at 20 hours average a week, so we stay under that 1,000 hours for IMRF.
Sure.
What if, I think I understand that there are some employees that work not full-time, but in the middle, 30 hours, and can we contribute to IMRF for them?
You would have to if they're over that 1,000-hour limit. So.
But then we wouldn't be paying their
benefits? If they're over 1,000 hours a week, no, 1,000 hours a year,
correct.
Then they're subject to IMRF. They get a deduction for it, and the library pays part.
Right.
So it's a 50-50 thing, or whatever the percentages work out to, but they contribute, the library contributes.
Okay.
Yeah, currently the employee portion is always 4.5%. Currently the employer portion of the library's portion would be, I believe, 8.9% for 2022. So it's actually gone down substantially because of the strong investment returns IMRF's been experiencing. In 2021, I think it was 11%. So we've seen some pretty significant savings citywide. I mean, where you really save, though, is on the benefit side. You'd probably save, you know, almost $30,000 if you didn't offer that person health insurance if they were a part-time employee.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
So if you're getting halftime.
Right. It's a way of testing the water.
Yeah, right.
So, something else to think about and talk about.
I just see all these numbers going up and up and up, and I know our computer system up in the telecommunication room needs updating, but we're probably looking at somewhere between $7,000 and $10,000 for a new server, which there's no way we can fund that out of our current money unless we did it. Development fees.
Hey, you have a pretty... I wouldn't say hefty, but a pretty strong fund balance and funding for your capital account. So perhaps if you want to do some computer upgrades or something along those lines, you do have some money in reserve there that you could, you know, certainly utilize.
I just hate dipping into that. But, I mean, it needs to be done at the same time, you know? Like,
Russ, how soon does that server need to be replaced?
Last year.
Ouch.
How long are servers? What's their lifespan?
I would say 5 to 7 years, and this one's pushing is right at that 7-year limit.
Has it ever been cleaned or anything like that?
Okay. We've had a drive fail in it, which I showed. Taught Shelly how to fix. We've had a power supply fail. Right now, it's running okay.
But when that
software is still supported by Microsoft, but that's coming to end. It's 2012 software, and I believe 2012. I believe it's still being supported by Microsoft till 2024. And then it'll be end of life. Currently, it's server software is a 2019 version. I can talk it over with Lloyd. We can talk about it. Physical facilities, say that 40 times quick, committee meeting. Figure out how the staff uses the server. I know there's a lot of computer controls that are on it, whether they store files on it or not, is another issue because we have no backup on that server. Mm. So if you're...
I store my stuff to the cloud.
There you go. That's the best place to do it. It's the best place for everybody to do it that needs to do that. Cheryl and Dixie and Genevieve, they've all got access to the Office 365 OneDrive account. Mm.
We need that server to get...
Basically, the server is there for authentication purposes, so we don't have to create users on every PC in here at all. All the computers get authenticated through the server. There is some server-based software that we pay for that restricts who can use the computers and for how long. And there's a piece of software on there that controls deep freeze, which is how we lock down those computers so that nobody can save anything, nobody can change anything. If they did reboot the computer, everything's back to the way it was. They can't install software, that kind of thing. So we might be able to get a new server for lower it to like maybe $5,000 to $7,000.
It would be like
depending on the capacity of the server,
right?
Pardon?
Like if for some reason it just
we'd be in trouble.
Yeah.
If it died,
we would be what?
We'd be in trouble.
We'd lose some services in the building.
Yeah, basically all the public computers would go offline if we lost the server. Staff could probably, we could be proactive with the staff. It would take some doing, but we could get this public computers back online. But it would take probably a few days to do it. Get them reconfigured so that they would not need the server to do what they needed to do. We'd have to move all that software that controls the PCs somewhere else.
So you think it's going to cost somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000?
I would say $5,000 to $10,000. Yeah.
Well, the development fees and the way that they're coming in, we're what at 200%. We were.
Yeah, I mean pretty much doubled your development fee, which is certainly a good thing. For instance, for FY 20, 21, 22, looks like it'll be the same story. So I mean, if you wanted to increase your computer equipment and software by, you know, $10,000 to fund the new server next year, you certainly have the money in reserve to make that happen. And, you know, you'd still have quite a bit of money, you know, left over after that fact, if you wanted to, something else, you know, needed to be replaced or what have you.
You should probably do that. I mean, server is key infrastructure here.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
And that is something you don't want to wait till it goes.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds like it's mm-hmm. you know, a responsible thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
We need to figure out a way of backing up the servers specifically for that control software. Mm-hmm. Might not be the files. If you're keeping your files in the cloud, that's not a big hairy deal. But having that access to that, let me do some investigating. But I think we could still get it done between that $5,000 and $10,000 and have a backup for the server. Part of the, you know, it's part of any good disaster plan. What do we do if the server takes a puke and nobody can get on the computers? It's a technical term, taking a puke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we definitely should look at that.
Yeah, we should.
So that we're increasing the computer equipment and software line item?
Yes.
By 10 grand?
By 10 grand, yes.
Service, and how do you budget for that? Do you just increase everything in your budget?
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I guess no. It just kind of depends on each individual line item and how, I guess, susceptible it is to inflation. I mean, certainly, you know, utilities is obviously a consideration. Fuel, gasoline costs are obviously a consideration. Right. But, you know, certainly not everything is going to, you know, be at that level of inflationary increase.
Okay, so just like the main ones that we touched on, we should be pretty good then?
Yeah, and then your biggest expense is salaries and wages, and obviously I don't anticipate people's wages increasing by 7%. So
that would be nice.
Just a hunch, yeah. But I think, you know, you're in pretty good shape in that regard.
Okay.
Just to clarify the computer equipment, do you want that to come out of your operation account, Fund 82, or do you want it to come out of Fund 84?
Which is your development fees.
Your development fees.
Thank you.
Sure. I would say 84, since that's where we...
Yeah, I would say Fund 84. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That'd be my suggestion, but I just wanted to clarify. Yeah. Thank you.
So right now it's got what? It's got 15,000
here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bring that up to 25.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this computer equipment and software in Fund 82 is over right now, and that's because of the grant. Mm-hmm. So we've had to spend the money ahead of time, and then we'll be reimbursed for it.
Speaking of computers, though, do you know when we bought those computers, the public computers? How old are those? I don't remember. I know we just put a bunch of memory on to make it work better.
Right. I have to look at my inventory list.
I don't remember when we bought them and how old they are.
Right. That's part of the technology plan we need to do.
Yes, it is.
So we can talk. I don't know if that would fall under the facilities.
Probably. Well, we need to start looking at not a global replacement of every computer, public computer out there, or probably something, replace the adult computer 1 year, replace
right.
the young adults 1 year, and replace the kids' computers 1 year. We can even cycle them out. Replace the adult computers 1 year. Take the adult computers. I know it's going to be a hassle, but take them, move them down to young adults. Buy new ones for the adult, for the public upstairs, and then do the same thing on the third. So do it like a 3 year rotation and then skip a year. So we can, the adult computers are always the best. And then they just cycle down and across because the little kids are only playing games. So
they don't get used nearly
so
as much
what
as
we
the
have,
adults.
Might even just sit on those for a while. Mm-hmm. But the young adults, the adult computers get used a lot.
The adult computers get used a lot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we may want to. How many are up there? 12.
12.
Okay. We may want to look at replacing those 12 computers sometime during next fiscal year. And they're probably, we're looking at about $6,000 for them. What do we got in there? Equipment? We got $2,000 in there. On, what is that, fund 82. Do we want to push that off on the Fund 84 under capital and go and bump that up to 30?
30.
Well, we got it up to 25 for to include a server, and we had another 5 for computers.
Right now, the server, I think, is our biggest concern.
Mm-hmm.
Experimented with one computer, Lloyd did, and bought a
solid state drive.
Yes, yep. A solid state drive. He thought that could
buy us some time and mm-hmm. 500.
And it was like $50, I believe.
Yep.
We could do that for the 12 computers.
Sure. That would be a good stopgap.
If you up it to 30, I mean it all depends on the development fees.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that might be one of our last resorts, spending that on the computers if we're seeing that development fees have waned.
Yeah. See, if I'm looking at this correct, we've got 164 for this year in development fees.
I think it'll be 110.
Yeah, 10 is okay. That's right, I haven't got my glasses on. Wait, 110 for the actual.
Let's just keep it at 25.
Okay. Maybe we don't want to do anything for the Fund 82 under software and equipment. Just, all we do is buy solid-state hard drives for the adult computers.
So right now you're at 2,000 on that?
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you increase it by?
12. So it would cost us roughly $600 to buy 12 solid-state drives. I don't know, what else do we put into the computer equipment and software?
I had to buy 4 monitors.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that came out.
Computer equipment.
So it's equipment. Mm-hmm.
Do we want to up that at all or just leave it where it is? Right now we've spent.
Well, if we up it just $1,000
mm-hmm.
and we pay for upgrading this to solid state drives for just the adult ones. That should buy us
some time.
A year?
Yeah, at least.
Plus?
Mm-hmm. So you would take it to, you think it should go to 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
So what are our DVD, what's the DVD usage like for the library? I mean, are we getting rent? I know it's free.
Yeah.
But are people utilizing?
Probably not as much as before because of streaming services, but right. We still do.
I mean, right now we have 1,500 called out for it, but we've only spent, what have we spent this year on DVDs? I know the projected is 1,500, but...
Oh, it's 500. The books are 1,500. It's the one of
them. Oh, I'm sorry. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if that's something that's not being utilized. You know, do we want to start talking about it?
We also have DVDs under Fund 84. Mm-hmm. Do we need it under both, or do we buy them out of both funds, or do we just need to buy them out of one?
Well,
one or the other.
Technically, you're supposed to have line item budget in your budget for materials,
mm-hmm.
and we've never really operated that way. We buy our books off of development fees.
Mm-hmm.
You should have 8 to 10% based on the standards that we went through. Mm-hmm. 8 to 10% of your budget should go for your collection, and ours doesn't.
8 to 10.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
But we do utilize a lot of development fees for books.
Mm-hmm. Which is what the development fees are for, is to maintain our collection for new homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
So the impact of new homeowners on the library.
My understanding is that it wasn't always like that. It used to be that we did have a bigger buying item for books in the Fund 82. It's just the last...
Is that misleading then if we say 1500 for books or actually... not what we're spending?
No, because it is, most of it comes from Fund 84, which is on page 5.
So we have $50,000 for books out of Fund 84.
And that's projected. That's more what we're doing. We did 42.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see those big Baker and Taylor checks
gotcha.
Every month. That's paying for books.
Lots of books.
I mean, the only other way to make it look, the only way to do it if we wanted to use Fund 82 would be to take development fees and move it from Fund 84 into Fund 82 as a revenue item. But that gets complicated. Accounting wise.
So do you see anywhere on here for potential savings? Are there anything in here that we're like, oh well that's way too much for the
call out spending?
I've held off on, so our publishing and advertising is at $2,500,
mm-hmm.
but I have also held off on not purchasing anything, but I will before the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
to, our past director bought all of those giveaways,
mm-hmm.
and if we're going to be doing a pop-up library, those are good things to have,
mm-hmm.
So I will be purchasing some.
Okay.
Not that much, but
okay.
Yeah. Hopefully, travel conferences will happen again. It's virtual right now,
mm-hmm.
so I'd like to keep that in there.
Do you have to pay fees then for the virtual as well?
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2026, the agent fees go away.
Mm-hmm.
And the budget seems pretty lean. Custodial supplies are down. I mean, we could decrease that. I don't purchase through Cambria anymore. I buy supplies through either Amazon or Quill. Mm-hmm. It's half the price of what we were paying.
So you have mentioned in dues and subscriptions that there's, I think it was dues and subscriptions, about the ebooks, but then I see $3,500 for ebooks in Fund 84, and I'm not trying to nitpick, I'm just wondering what's the differentiation between the two of them.
Right, Susan? That shouldn't be in dues and subscriptions. Because, yes, that's paid for with development fees. $3,500? Yeah, and this is $3,200. Okay. So we may not have to increase dues and subscriptions at all.
Okay.
Dues and subscriptions.
Back to 11,000.
Yep. Okay. Yep, because it comes out, you're right, it comes out of ebooks. Those are all my notes.
So I guess the one thing, maybe I guess we're circling back to it. What are we going to propose for wage compression and with the $12 an hour taking effect with our part-time staff.
I thought that Rob was going to run different scenarios.
Okay, so you run the scenarios on the six people that Shelley identified. Is that right? Is that what?
So those six people have...
It's actually going to be five if we're not going to do the book club waiting.
Okay. Before the beginning of this year, they were already at $12 plus per hour, correct?
two of them were. The rest were under, and they just got to $12 an hour.
So the other two got nothing last year, got nothing this year. So they should get something this year that probably is a significant more than 3%. Complicated.
Yeah.
Because they got compressed right out of business there. I think we need to propose something to the board that those people, at least those two, get even, maybe even more than 3%. Because they've missed out. The ones that have gotten the minimum wage increases at the beginning of the year every year, I'm not so concerned about. Other than the ones that have been here for 15 years. Should have brought that from my head sitting on the floor.
So do you want to bring this up then at the board meeting then?
Yeah.
Let's defer this to the board meeting?
Yeah.
Not make a recommendation from this committee?
Yeah. But we need to do something for that. The recommendation is that we do something for those people.
Yeah.
What we do, we'll have to do at the board meeting.
Okay.
So I'll send you the list of the five people that we're talking about, and maybe you can do a percentage, couple percentages, and see what that looks like. Is that how that works?
Well, yeah, I guess I would need just some sort of direction. So, right now I have 3%, but you want something more for them. So would you want, like, a double that, like 6% for certain people? Would you want, I guess I just don't know exactly what you want.
Probably, since it's a simple calculation, a spreadsheet, maybe do a 3 to 6.
Okay. All right. But the 6 would just apply to those handful of people?
Yes.
Okay. All right, yes. Yeah, certainly do that. We'll touch base later this week, Shelley, and hammer that out.
In 2026, our bonds are paid for.
That would be exciting.
Yes, it will. It would be nice if we could, if we can hold off till then. Keep some of that with a rate increase, since the library's never asked for one, other than to build a building. That's what I was alluding to before. We have some, other than computers, we have some equipment that's going to need to be replaced, and it's going to be very expensive to replace it. Furnace systems in this building are 50 years old. They've been well maintained to keep them running. But one of these days, we're going to run into a problem with the furnace in this building. That'll be an expensive fix. We've already replaced the two compressors outside. That failed. So those should be okay for air conditioning. We were going to talk to R.G. O'Neill about the chiller, and maybe at their spring cleanup.
About replacing?
About the life expectancy of the chiller. Mm-hmm. Unless Ryan can, do you have any ideas what the life expectancy of a chiller would be of this size?
15 to 20.
18 to 20? So we're getting to that point.
Yeah.
By 2026, it'll be 20.
Yeah.
And as we saw, like, with the board and stuff, well, maybe I'm thinking of another project.
No.
But some of the parts just take a really long time to get, but I think with this system, you can have part of it down and still operate, but we don't have redundancy in that we don't have another unit that can provide cooling, which really the dehumidification is, I think, what we're more concerned with, you know, with the books.
The boilers, I think both boilers have been pretty much renovated. We've got new tubes, new pumps, so pretty much the boilers for the heat.
Thinking we could run off of one boiler, right?
Pardon?
We can run off of one boiler.
We can run off of one boiler, yeah.
Maintain our temperatures.
Yep. So, and we've replaced the water heater, so that's in good shape. Going off track with the budget, but I'm looking at budget numbers that we need to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brian scheduled a facility committee meeting
for the 14th.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you guys are good with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
does the library have some sort of replacement schedule for the various, I guess, material components of the library? Okay.
No. Nope.
Okay. Because certainly, if you did,
I mean, that's something we're going to talk about.
Yeah, I think. That, I don't remember what it was called, but that document that Shelley had provided it. Actually, that was a nice checklist they had in there.
Yeah.
And it's just a good systematic way to go through a building. And it's more or less a requirement, I think, for some of the grants that, yeah, that's in place. So I think that's something we can...
You're talking about capital improvement plans?
Yeah, in essence, and then essentially when that's done, we can kind of take some of those numbers and start putting them in the budget and seeing, you know, what needs to be done and how feasible it is. And just, mm-hmm, but, you know, when it's ready, when that time comes. So
that would be helpful.
Something to think about.
Yeah. I mean, we went, what, eight to 10 years, and we did very little lifting. It was all break fix. There was no,
sure,
no maintenance.
Right.
Preventative maintenance on it. In the last, I don't know, 5 years, we've, yeah, been doing a lot of preventative maintenance, catching things that broke.
Sure.
And trying to do things like putting the screens on to catch the cottonwood, keeping the chillers clean. Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, it's all money. Unfortunately, we're not like the federal government. We just can't print our own.
That's true.
So what's the next steps, Rob?
Well, the next step would be I'll incorporate these revisions and send them back to Shelley. You can disseminate to the Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about the part-time issue. Mm-hmm. And then it's really however you want to proceed. I mean, we could meet again as a Finance Committee to hash things out. You could take it directly to the board. Long story short, you have until, you know, the end of February to approve a board. Historically, a budget. Mm-hmm. Historically, the library board has approved, I believe, in March, but, you know, you can approve in March or April. Okay. The city will be releasing a draft budget, which will include the library, because we have to, because it's part of the city, mm-hmm, probably at the end of February, but that's not necessarily your budget. Your budget is what you decide upon, and certainly, mm-hmm, if you make changes or adjustments, I'll incorporate that into the final budget ordinance, which, you know, gets approved by council. So, yeah, there's some time. If you want to move it right along, we can do that. If you want to talk about it in February, deliberate a little more, we can do that as well.
Okay. So we deliberated at the board meeting by the 14th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then see if we need to schedule another one.
Yeah. Right. So make sure that's on the agenda. For the 14th, please. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think we're done.
Mm-hmm.
Shall we adjourn?
Make a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.